We'll look somewhat, I guess we can say briefly, at the atoning work of Christ. The atoning work of Christ. Romans chapter 3. We'll start in verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 26. But we'll focus on verse 24 this morning and the preaching. Romans chapter 3, verse 9, he starts out with a question. What then? Are we better than they? No and no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. What's the problem that all of us have? It is sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. How many people are there that does good, the Bible says? None. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So they live how they want to live, when they want to live it, and that's how they are. There's no fear of God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. If you're guilty, it means you're a subject to the judgment of God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You can't work your way to heaven. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, notice this, and the justifier of Him which believeth in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, would you help us again this morning to continue to learn your word on this Resurrection Sunday, in Christ's name. Amen. Man's greatest need is to be delivered from the wrath of God. How sad would it be to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. What is this death? It's a separation from the love, the mercy, and the grace of God, and it's in the torments of hell for eternity. So we have a major problem. We're born like this as sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned. The Bible says, there is none that doeth good. Listen, you and I, that we are in that category. That's where we're at. That's what we're born into. We live life for self. We live life to fulfill the lust of our flesh. And yet the wages of our sin is death. The penalty for this is hell for eternity. And there's no way humanly possible to avoid this. When I say humanly possible, I mean there's nothing that you and I can do to avoid this judgment. We can't go to church enough. We can't live above sin enough. We can't not do this or do those things on the right to earn salvation. No one is the exception to the rule. You cannot deliver yourself from the wrath of God. It's not going to happen. We talked this morning a little bit in Sunday school, and we talked about someone slipping into heaven who's not supposed to be there. That's not going to happen, is it? No one's going to get there and say, "Hi, man, you missed me." No, not. Listen, God is all-knowing. Nothing catches him by surprise. Some of you may be good talkers. You might be known as what's known as a sweet talker or talk your way out of anything. That's not going to happen on Judgment Day. There's nothing that you can do to escape the wrath of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Even faith to trust in Jesus Christ is a gift from God. It's not earned. It's not something that we come up with. We don't put our bootstraps on or pull up our boots by our bootstraps. No matter how hard you try, you will not, you cannot earn salvation. For someone to try to earn salvation means they are trusting themselves to save themselves. Let me ask you this. How trustworthy is yourself? Have you ever lied to yourself? Not to others, but to yourself? Can you trust yourself to save you? No. It's not going to happen. It is eternally important that we all understand this. We're talking about this morning. Doing the right things don't save you. Praying the right prayer does not save you. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. If you're trying to earn salvation, you'll stand before Jesus one day. He'll cast you into a devil's hell. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We're born in a bad state, aren't we? We're born totally depraved. You know what we need? We need God's free grace by which we are justified freely. We need Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for the Scriptures? Verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But I'm glad it does not stop there, because verse 24 says of Romans 3, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I know that today is Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. And I trust that this week you have really been focused on reading Scriptures, dealing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And as Brother Pat King prayed this morning, I pray that we will continue reading the Scriptures dealing with these truths. See, Christ came to die. That's why He came. He taught His disciples this biblical truth. They didn't understand it. They argued amongst themselves. He told Pilate that this is why He came, was to die. We know the sufferings that Christ went through were horrific, weren't they? His bodily pain and agony are beyond our understanding. There are songs written describing the death of Christ, the crown of thorns that was smashed down upon his head, the cat of nine tails that was used to whip Jesus, and it would pull the flesh off of Christ. The purple robe the soldiers covered his battered and bloody body with in a mocking way. And then he was nailed to the cross in the most humiliating way. And we can get into even greater detail regarding the bodily sufferings of Christ and get into all the medical stuff, but I won't this morning. But here's what we must not forget. Christ's death was a substitutionary death. Christ did not deserve to be on that cross. He did nothing to deserve it. In the eyes of man or in the eyes of God. He did not deserve to be put on display in open shame. And as terrible as these things are, these things continue to happen. And still happen to Christians today, don't they? Or Christians persecuted today? Or Christians crucified today? Yes. Understand that Christ's substitutionary death was not to heal our physical bodies. We've got to grasp this truth. Christ's death on the cross was not for anything that is temporal. Romans 3:25 read says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the what? The remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Why did Christ come? To die for the sins of all who have and will believe. Yes, Christ was nailed to that cross. And while Christ was on that cross, He took upon Himself the sins of all who have and will believe. Christ became our substitute. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our sins were placed upon Christ while He was on that cross. The physical sufferings of Christ do not compare to His sufferings because of our sins. Do we truly understand what it means when the Bible tells us that Christ became sin for us? He did not become a sinner. He never sinned. Even on the cross, He did not sin. He did not become a sinner. But our sins was placed upon Him. He remained sinless. This means He did not deserve what He received. He didn't earn this. He didn't merit the wrath of God. Yet, He willingly took it. Go to John chapter 10, please. Look in John chapter 10, verse 14. In John 10, 14, Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What's He do with His life? He lays it down. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Again, Christ willingly went to cross. Here's a quote: penal substitution means that Christ gave himself to suffer and die by bearing the full penalty for sin in the place of all the sinners whom God saves. And on that cross, Christ fully paid the sin debt of all who have and will be saved. Fully paid. Nothing left to pay. Again, back in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And we know that Christ died for our sins, but the story doesn't end there, does it? Christ arose on the third day. We desperately needed our sin debt to be paid. We also desperately needed to be justified in the eyes of God. What's it mean to be justified? Being justified freely. Justified means though we are guilty, we are proclaimed innocent. See, this is why, that we cannot work for our salvation. It is God who justifies us. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to get better. I'm almost there." Do you know what? For the rest of their life, guess what they'll be in their eyes? Almost there. Never able to attain salvation. Even though in reality, they are miles away, and their eyes are almost there. Though only Jesus can save, and only Jesus, and we're only justified through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Look again in chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is a one-time act that has continual results. If Christ hadn't risen from the dead, we'd have no hope, folks. None. We could be here and we could talk about His death. We could talk about the sin debt on the cross. But then we'd have to say He's still in the grave. But He's not in the grave. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Brother Shad alluded to this morning in the sunrise service. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yeah? And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Notice what He says, ye are what? Yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, the Bible says. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ is risen. Therefore we are not above all men, most miserable. We are most joyous. We are excited. Christ willingly laid His life down. Remember, no man took it from Him. He also willingly took His life up again. No man gave it to Him. There's much about the resurrection that we may not understand. It doesn't make any sense, humanly speaking. But we believe it by faith according to the Scriptures. Why did Christ have to come? Why did Christ have to live a sinless life? See, no one else could do what Christ did. No one. Why did Christ have to die, be buried, and then rise again? It was necessary. For who? Did Christ have to do that to make himself better? Did God need Christ to do that to make God more glorious? No. It was necessary for sinners. As has already been stated, there are no works of righteousness which we can do to earn salvation. Not going to happen. Can't happen. No matter how good we think we are still full of sin. Listen, we talked a while ago about the saved sinner and the lost sinner. Listen, once you're saved, you still have a body that loves sin. That's why we're in this struggle. Romans chapter 7. Read what Paul said. Those things I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Those things I want to do, I'm not doing. A constant struggle. Again, we sin in thought, word, and deed every day. It's not if we sin, but the fact is that we do sin. Why do we sin? Because we're sinners. We're born this way. We live this way. And if Christ doesn't save us, we die as lost sinners. Matter of fact, we are such sinners that we do not even understand how sinful we are until the Lord shows us these things. We say things like, I'm not that bad. Or I'm not near as bad as that one over there or that one over there. I could be worse. Yes, you could be worse. Yes, you may not be as bad as that person in your eyes, but in the eyes of God, if you're lost, you're a sinner headed to a devil's hell. You need deliverance. Why do we say things like this? Because we try to justify our actions. We try to comfort our guilty consciences. Thank God for our conscience. The Bible tells us that we are all dead in trespasses and sins. That's how we're born. Ephesians 4:18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We do not even begin to see how sinful we are until the Lord does a work in us. So He quickens us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of your life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, which was unrestraint, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and an abominable idolatries. Wherein I think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. How did we live before we were saved? I mentioned it earlier, we live to fulfill the desires of our flesh, whatever they may be. We live to sin. And sometimes we sin to live. Why did Christ come? The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke that He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to pay the ransom for many. He came to redeem those who have been given to Him by the Father. He came to atone for our sins. what kind of people this? What kind of people did Christ die for? The best of the worst, and the worst of the best. I love going to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love these scriptures. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. See, we like to laugh and joke about these sins. We like to laugh and joke about our sinfulness. We love it. Especially as a lost person. It's not that just that we love it, but we want to bring others with us to join in with our sinfulness. Whatever it may be. And this list of sins that I just read off here, in our culture today, this is accepted as the norm. Please hear me, folks. It doesn't matter what the culture says is right or wrong. What does matter is what the Bible says is right or wrong. Evil is being called good. Good is being called evil. So people don't think they're as bad as they are. That's a ploy of the enemy. But understand, the Bible says here, let's read it again. Be not deceived in verse 9. It says, neither fornicators. Do you know what a fornicator is? It's any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. Are any of y'all involved in that? Is that your lifestyle? Understand this, if that's your lifestyle and you claim to be a Christian, something's wrong. You better check up, examine yourself. Because the Bible says you're not saved, no matter what you say. If you can live that lifestyle. No adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind. Listen, this is homosexuals. And I'm not trying to beat people up in these certain sins. But these are the things that the world says is okay today. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, which is a gathering of drunkards. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These people are not backslidden. This is their lifestyle. And according to their lifestyle, they are not saved. What is it that they need? Listen, who did Jesus come to die for? The worst of sinners. The best of sinners. Sinners. Some of you in here, as I read this list, you can go back over your life and say, yeah, I remember that. But you also say what verse 11 says, and such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What happened? Christ saved your wretched soul. He forgave you your sin debt. He made you a new creation in Him. You're different now. You don't glory in those sins. You don't desire those sins like you did. Now you have them. You found them. Yes, those inclinations are still there, aren't they? There are some things we are delivered from, have no more problems out of them, ever. But then there are some things we have to fight for the rest of our lives till we see Jesus. And listen, folks, I got great news for you. He rose on that third day. 40 days later, He ascended to glory. He tells us this, He is coming back. Amen. He's coming back. And when He comes back, listen, we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, those of us who are still alive. Listen, we'll get a glorified body. no more problems. I've heard, I think it's maybe John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Paul Washer, many of these men that we would call giants of the faith. I've all heard them all say that one of the things that they look forward to in heaven is there's no more sin. No more sin. Why did Christ come? To reconcile us with the Father. See, we are at enmity with God. And without the sacrifice of Christ, we die as an enemy of God. And His wrath will be poured out upon us. So thankful He saved sinners. Why do we preach about sins like this? Are we trying to make people feel shameful? Yes, on one hand, yeah, of course. Thank God for our conscience, as I said a while ago. But people need to understand that they have a need for the Savior. Does God, will God pour His wrath out upon people? Yes, He will. Does God hate people? Yes, He does. Does God throw sin into hell? No. He throws sinners into hell. What a difference, huh? But though God hates, He also loves. How do we know this? For God, what? So loved the world. What did He do? He sent. See, Christ is the mediator. He's the one, He is the go-between. Without Christ, we have no hope. He reconciles us with God. And therefore, according to Romans chapter 5, we have peace with God because we've been justified by Jesus Christ. We need that peace. We need that justification. I'm thankful that God saves sinners. I'm thankful that God draws us to Himself. This is a promise. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. And through all this, God is glorified. Romans 3:26 says, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It is Christ that saves him and him alone. When we confess that we are sinners, that we cannot save ourselves, and we look to Christ to save us, listen, that's the work that God does in us. And Jesus Christ saves us. When He saves us, God is glorified. All of heaven rejoices when God saves someone. All of heaven is praising the Lord. So I want to ask y'all this morning. How many of you are trying to earn salvation? You're trying. You're trying to get better. Have you found out yet that it's just not going to happen? Have you realized yet that you can't do that? I pray you will realize it this morning. You cannot earn your salvation. How many of you think that you're not that bad? See, you will stand before God one day. All of us will. Some of us will stand before God covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by the grace of God. And some of you stand before God in your sins. And God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He'll cast you into a devil's hell. Listen, this is for eternity. I'm not trying to scare you. I wish I could scare you into heaven. It's not possible, is it, to scare you into heaven? But I do beg you to dwell upon these truths that we've heard this morning. Thank God for His atoning work of Christ. Christ alone can save. No one else and nothing else. Look to Him and Him alone. Let's pray.